Our reading is from Ezekiel chapter 33, from verse 21 until the end of the chapter. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, a fugitive came from Jerusalem to me and said, "The city has been struck down." Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before the fugitive came, and he had opened my mouth by the time the man came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened, and I was no longer mute. The word of the Lord came to me. "Son of man, the inhabitants of these waste places in the land of Israel keep saying, 'Abraham was only one man, yet he got possession of the land, but we are many. The land is surely given us to possess.' Therefore, say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, you eat flesh with the blood and lift up your eyes to your idols and shed blood. Shall you then possess the land? You rely on the sword, you commit abominations, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Shall you then possess the land? Say this to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the waste places shall fall by the sword, and whoever is in the open field I will give to the beasts to be devoured, and those who are in strongholds and in caves shall die by pestilence. And I will make the land a desolation and a waste, and her proud might shall come to an end, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that none will pass through. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolation and a waste because of all their abominations that they have committed. As for you, son of man, your people, who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, 'Come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.' And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and who plays well on an instrument, for they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them." Last week, as part of the online service, we all watched a very helpful video of Amy Wicks telling us how to grow our relationship with God during lockdown. And she said we need to be reading the parts of God's word that will help us at this time, the comfort, the promises, familiar verses that we know well. And she was unusually prescriptive for Amy. She told us what she had decided not to read. During coronavirus, don't read Ezekiel. And in my front room, everyone turned to look at me because they knew that 30 seconds later, William was going to invite everyone to tune in next week, this week, now, for the first of our 3-month series on Ezekiel. Amy, if you're listening, you can change channel now. I will never know. But from Dorothy's reading, you can see what Amy meant, can't you? The prophet Ezekiel is a captive. He lives in a labor camp 1,600 miles from home. Verse 21, in the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month. He has spent 12 years, 10 months, and 5 days in a labor camp, slaving for the enemies of his people. How is that for lockdown? And we join him on the day a fugitive came from Jerusalem and said, "The city has been struck down." Jerusalem is home and it is destroyed. Temple, city walls, houses, all on fire, death and misery and destruction. See, we at the moment may be living through a once in a hundred years event. It's hard to believe it when the sun shines, but this could be 1918 and 1929 for us. But Ezekiel lives through a once in 430 years event. You have to go this far back in the Bible to get back to what has been destroyed or further. The people of Israel, they were given a land and cities and kings and priests and a temple to meet with God and sacrifices for their sins. And it took hundreds of years to build and they lived in it for hundreds more. And one day, in the 10th month, on the 5th day, a ragged-faced fugitive came to Ezekiel and told him it was all over. Now, how is that going to cheer us up in lockdown? Well, here's how. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, is the story of how God brought something wonderful out of the ashes of destruction. It's about hope after despair. And every chapter from next week onwards, it is all the wonderful things that God wants to do for his people. This week, I can only show you the door. It's like some huge, complicated TV game show. Through that door, next week, we're going to show you all the prizes, everything you win. And through that door are a lot of the things we need to hear in lockdown. A God who cares for us, who will keep us safe, who will rebuild our home and change our hearts and bring us to life after death and be our God forever and restore our king and our temple and our land and bring us to an eternal perfect place and where we will be face to face with God forever. It's all through that door if you want it. And Ezekiel has not been allowed to speak. I don't know if you've had that experience on Zoom calls of being muted and unable to speak. But for years, God has only allowed him to act out what was coming on Jerusalem. He was struck dumb and unable to speak. But verse 22 what tells us what happened last night for him, the night before the fugitive arrived. "Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before the fugitive came, and he had opened my mouth by the time the man came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened and I was no longer mute." It's all spoilers and no surprises for Ezekiel. He'd been told, "You will be mute until the day a fugitive comes with the news." So he goes to bed feeling God's hand on him. And in the morning, he can speak. So I guess he puts a little chair outside his house and gets ready to ask the fugitive what took him so long. All of the hope is through that door. All the wonderful things God wants to do for his people. This is what Ezekiel now has an open mouth to talk about. But God didn't let him speak until now. Only now, once Jerusalem is destroyed, are the people ready to hear it and ready to hear how you go through the door to get to the prizes. So this week in our series aims to get us ready to hear the promises, to get us in the same place as Ezekiel's lockdown listeners in the labor camp. And I've got four headings you should have on the sheet. First, there have been two groups of God's people. First, there have been two groups of God's people. So 12 years, 10 months, and 5 days ago, there was a split. They were invaded and several thousand people, including Ezekiel, were dragged away to live in Babylon. You should be able to see a map on the handout of how far that is from Jerusalem to Babylon. So then there were two groups of God's people. There's one lot who still live in Jerusalem, who still have a king descended from David, who still get to go to the temple and still live in their houses and still farm the land and eat their food. And there's another lot who live 1,600 miles from home and have no freedom and can't go to the temple and serve a foreign pagan king and work someone else's land. And it seems fairly obvious which group you would rather be in, doesn't it? Like a boomer stuck on the last cruise ship to be allowed into port in Genoa this Wednesday, they just want to go home. Diana from the ship spoke to CNN, said, I still have no idea what it means for me getting back to the USA. I don't know if we stay on the ship waiting for a flight or go to a hotel or if a flight will be offered on Wednesday. Diana is on a cruise ship. Ezekiel is in a labor camp, and they both want to go home. There have been two groups of God's people for 12 years, and everyone would say that the group in Jerusalem are the lucky group, aren't they? They've got away with it. God came to judge all the evil in the land, and they've been given a reprieve. And I guess they probably didn't think too much about the few thousand who trudged away east to Babylon. Thank God it wasn't me. And for the exiles, everything is about home. Get me out of Babylon. Get me back where God is, where God's promises are, where everything is good. But Ezekiel has been trying to get them to see that God doesn't see it like that at all. There were two groups, but, point two, only one was the designated survivor. Only one was the designated survivor. And Ezekiel chapter 6 is going to come up on the screen for us. It's one of the 24 chapters announcing the destruction of Jerusalem. And I'll read from verse 5. I will lay the dead bodies of the people of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars wherever you dwell. The city shall be waste and the high places ruined, so that your altars will be waste and ruined, your idols broken and destroyed, your incense altars cut down, and your works wiped out. And the slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. 12 years ago, that was a delay, but not a reprieve. Jerusalem has no future. Destruction is certain, and they have not got away with worshipping other gods and the idols, the people and the cities, they are all going to be cut down. Which means that the few thousand people in exile, they are not the unlucky ones. They are the designated survivors. 6 verse 8. Yet I will leave some of you alive. And when you have among the nations some who escape the sword, and when you are scattered through the countries, then those who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive. It was an American idea, I think, the designated survivor. If everybody in the government dies, then we need one junior cabinet minister to become president and continue the nation, Kiefer Sutherland, in the TV series. And the papers here got very excited last month when they found out that Dominic Raab was the UK designated survivor. And some of them got confused and thought that meant Dominic Cummings, and it was all a bit of fun until the unthinkable happened. And Boris Johnson was in intensive care. And Dominic Raab emerged from whatever virus-free secure bunker they'd stashed him in and began to run the country. Two groups of people, one in Jerusalem, one in Babylon. And it looks like Jerusalem is the place to be, and it looks like exile was the place of judgment. But from God's perspective, Babylon was the secure bunker. God has stashed the designated survivors in Babylon. And they spend 12 years thinking that they need to get home before life can begin again and thinking how terribly God has treated them. And then one day the unthinkable happens and the fugitive comes to say, "You are all that remains." Mr. Rupp, the press is waiting for the briefing. And then Prime Minister's questions after that, then we need you to decide who gets the PPE and which companies to bail out. You are the UK government. You are all that remains. But the group in Babylon, they are not the good ones. They're not the survivors because they were better. They're not the good righteous ones. They aren't there because they deserve to escape. But now that they see God's plan, they have a choice. And Ezekiel is allowed to speak now. And he has a warning and an offer to make. So look back in chapter 33 to verse 10. "And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, 'Thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then shall we live?'" See, in 12 years, it has begun to dawn on the exiles that disobeying God and being unfaithful to him does not have a long-term future. And the destruction of Jerusalem feels to them like the destruction of everything and the ending of all hope. How then can we live? Expecting the answer, you can't. It's all over. If it's over in Jerusalem, it's over in Babylon, it's over everywhere. But verse 11, "Say to them, 'As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live.'" So there were two groups. Only one is the designated survivor. And now here is the offer, third point, offered the chance to live. A huge theme in Ezekiel's book is that you need to know God properly. For hundreds of years, his people took advantage of his generosity and thought he would never do anything about their evil actions. They didn't know him. They didn't know that he really cares about the weak and the vulnerable. And he cares about his own honor and he loves people enough to mind when they cheat on him. But we also need to know that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And compared to other religions at the time, that's a very surprising thing to say. The gods they had, they were frequently bloodthirsty and unpredictable. They had favorites and they enjoyed killing their enemies. Well, the true God is very different. He is the judge. He is pure, and there will be punishment and hell for those who oppose him. And the Lord Jesus Christ warns us we all deserve to go there and that we should do anything we can to avoid it. But God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That is not what he wants. You need to know God properly. The entire Bible, from beginning to end, including these extraordinary years when God acted in judgment, the whole thing cries out, live. How then can we live? You can live because God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants to offer you life. And Ezekiel, he now has his voice back. And the exiles can see the smoking ruin to tell them this is real and this is serious. And Ezekiel, he is ready to open the door in the next chapters and tell them all about life after exile, life out of the ashes of destruction. So Ezekiel, he is like Professor Chris Whitty with boatloads of vaccine, or like the great Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2. Come with me if you want to live. But there is a required response. Designated survivors offered the chance to live for if they repent. So look down at 33 verse 11 again for me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? There's more detail back in chapter 6. The big hope, as God lays out what he's hoping for in those years, the hope is that the survivors will come to their senses. Verse 9, then those of you who escape will remember me and how I have been broken over their whoring heart that has departed from me and over their eyes that go whoring after their idols. There's the sense that they have cheated on God. And they will be loathsome in their own sight for the evils that they have committed, for all their abominations. That's the message and the offer of Ezekiel. Come to your senses, realize what we have done to God, loathe the way that you lived, turn from it, turn to him, trusting that he doesn't want us to die. He wants us to live. See, in Jerusalem or out of Jerusalem, that was never the big deal. Exile was never the big deal. Exile wasn't really the punishment. It was just the delay. Death is the punishment. And death has been the problem in our world since page 3 of the Bible. And the New Testament draws parallels between the destruction of Jerusalem in Ezekiel's day and God's final day of judgment on this entire universe. And the New Testament says there is only one way to have life. God wants people to have life. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So please turn and live. See, Jesus teaches that only one group of people in this world have a future. More than anyone else in the Bible, Jesus speaks clearly about the day when this world will be struck down. And plagues and viruses, they are not there to help us predict when that day will come, but they are a reminder that our grip on this life is very fragile. I don't need to do anything to make relevant the message of this book. We are all going to die one day, and not everybody in this world has a future. If you mean a future of life and happiness. But there is a way to life if you will turn to God. God decides who gets to live, and God wants us to live. And there are any number of things about my pre-lockdown life that seem to matter more now, or about surviving this time of life that seems more pressing. But actually, only repentance, only turning to God, is truly a life and death issue, even now, more so now. Richard, in our video earlier, he said, didn't he, you don't want to make this period of months about you. Don't you want to share your hope with other people? And the rest of the series, the rest of this book, that is going to be about what God wants for you. You and I, we don't deserve it, but he wants to give it to us, and it is wonderful. Please come back next week. And if your Sunday allows, you could take more time today to study the rest of chapter 33, and you'll see a tragic thing. You'll see people who refuse to listen to a warning, and you'll see people who won't repent because they think they did something good enough in the past, and you'll see people who won't repent because they think the promises to Abraham are a blank check for them. And you'll even see Ezekiel's own congregation who think he's just entertainment. And they hear what he says, but they will not do it. Please don't make that mistake. No one gets life automatically. Universal salvation is a lie. God doesn't forgive everyone in the end. You can't rely on what you believed as a child. You can't rely on how often you listen to sermons. We need to turn to God. But if we do, you'll find that he doesn't want anyone to die. And he loves to give life. And we'll go through the door and see it all in the next weeks. So I hope you'll join us week by week until July. Maybe we'll be allowed to be in the building by then. Maybe we won't. And I hope you will love hearing all the great promises of God. But it all begins when the unthinkable happened, when the judgment of Jerusalem came. What's going to come out of the ashes? Well, it could be life for those who will turn to the God who wants us to live. Let me lead us in a prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your character, that you see evil clearly and you are intent on punishing it and destroying it, and yet you don't want anyone to die. You want the wicked to turn and live. And we ask, our Father, that you would help us, turn us towards you in repentance and faith, and turn us to other people around us in love, to share with them this hope of life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.